Have you ever watched a crime scene show that focuses on forensics? If you have, you probably know that they try to reconstruct the scene from the bones or the bodies that are there, whatever caused the death. And in a way, they're trying to get the bones to tell a story. If only bones could talk. In the vision of Ezekiel in chapter 37, not only do the bones tell a story, but Ezekiel is told to actually talk to the bones. God said, "Tell them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." So this chapter in the Bible, it seems to me, is like a kind of reversal of that field of forensics. Rather than trying to discover what caused a death, the Bible theme here is exploring bringing something dead back to life. And for many people, that would seem impossible. But the core message of this passage is actually of tremendous hope that God can miraculously and powerfully restore life to seemingly impossible situations by His Word in the Spirit. Do you know someone who is living in what seems like an impossible situation? Most of us probably do. You want them to see the way out. Maybe you've even walked with them and tried to help them, but it just seems like it's never going to happen. It feels to you like a dry bones situation. What do you do? Maybe you've experienced circumstances where it seems like people are just going through the motions, but you know in your heart it really feels like things are just dead. And as far as you can tell, there's no life, there's no hope, and there's no chance of change. It feels like a dry bone situation. What do you do? You and I, we do face all kinds of what seem like hopeless situations. Things that are beyond our control. Whether we got there because of something we did, our own poor choices or bad decisions, or maybe we just got careless and didn't realize what the outcomes and consequences would be. Or maybe you find yourself in a hopeless situation because of something that someone else has done or did, or something beyond your control. You just got caught up and you're implicated in a whole mess. Chances are, whoever you are, you face at least one situation in your life that feels like dry bones. What do? Ezekiel, he sees a valley of dry bones, and the Lord says to him, "Speak to them. Say, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." So today's message is entitled Reverse Forensic, and it is a message of hope when there doesn't seem to be any. I love this vision in the book of Ezekiel. You know, if you've read it before, you already know there's a very clear message in here about God's power to restore and redeem lost things. If you're brand new, then I'm guessing, at least I'm hoping, that from now on, you're going to remember this story, and it's going to come to mind when you face your own situations that seem impossible. I hope that on Tuesday morning, you wake up and you're reflecting on something, and you're thinking, "Oh yeah, I heard that passage about dry bones. What did that say again? What did that mean?" So today we're going to open our Bible to chapter 37. If you got one, go ahead and do that. If you're online joining us, you can. If you are taking notes, junior high, this is a great time to take notes. Come back over here by the back and grab a note and take these notes. It's also going to be up on the screen, so if you're one of those who just likes to soak it all in, perfect. You're going to be able to do that today. So what does it mean to Israel? What does this passage mean to the people it was spoken to first? Well, this is an apocalyptic vision, and it concludes Ezekiel's message on Israel's restoration, their future restoration. So the scripture says, "The hand of the Lord was on me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of dry bones." So do you have this picture in mind? You know, for me, I see an arid valley. The wind's blowing. Little sand is sifting around this pile of dry bones. Maybe there's a tumbleweed rolling by. Maybe a buzzard circling overhead. There's a horse that's plodding along, dragging his feet with each step. and a rider on his back with his head bowed. Just a totally hopeless situation, slumped over, no hope. This is a desperate situation with no remedy in sight. So now, I probably just read way too much into this vision. A little bit of an old Western I probably watched. And that's exactly what we actually want to avoid in this kind of literature. The image is clear as it's given. It's a clear message. But to get at it, we need to know what we're reading and what we're not reading. So in this section of apocalyptic literature, specifically, it's a Mesopotamian dream vision, which is where Ezekiel was. That's where he wrote when he was in exile. And it's a highly symbolic. So the bones are a symbol of something really important. And that's what we want to focus on. It's a prophetic and it's future-oriented. So in other words, it's going to represent something that hasn't happened yet, but will. Here's the warning. We love to add what we think is missing when we read Bible stories like this. But in apocalyptic literature, we don't need every detail interpreted. We only need to know the main idea. What's the big thing? So scratch the buzzards, the sand blowing, the horse dragging his feet, the slouching rider. What's the main thing here? This passage is about God and what he's going to do to restore his people. So we read in... As we continue on, the hand of the Lord was on me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of dry bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. So here's an image of a lot of bones, and they represent all of God's people in the nation of Israel at the time of this exile, and the bones are very dry. In other words, they are long dead, and the focus here is on spiritually dead and hopeless people. They have been long without hope. There's no spiritual life in them. If we're thinking about an application here, it really is about situations that represent spiritually dead things in our lives. When I say spiritually dead things, I mean they can manifest themselves in all kinds of different ways. And oftentimes we're trying to look at all those different things that are manifesting, but at the heart of the issue is the spiritual separation from God, being cut off from that source of life. And the question is, Son of Man, can these bones live? Isn't that the question we ask in every hopeless situation we face? Can this change? Is there hope? Can things be different? Son of Man. Sovereign Lord. Or Son of Man, can these bones change? It seems like a faithful response to that question would be, oh, well, of course, with God, all things are possible. But that's not always what he says. He gives a more humble and honest response. I think from the middle of a situation that seems hopeless, we can all say, you know, like, yeah, God, I know it's possible, but really, is it, God? And he says, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. I don't know, but you know, Lord. I'm going to confess to you right now that as your pastor, I don't know everything. That is not a surprise, maybe. Ezekiel didn't know everything. Neither do you. You don't know everything. So let's humbly accept that we're not omniscient. That means that we're not all-knowing. We are not omniscient beings. And just in case you're wondering, AI is not also either omniscient. Only God is omniscient. Only God knows all things. And as a New Testament believer, we have... As we believe in Jesus Christ, we have the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can lead us, but only God is all-knowing. So here he is, Ezekiel, in this valley of dry bones in the middle of this vision. And what happens to him? What happened to him and his people to get them there? For that, we have to go back a little bit. Do you have a TV show that you watch with someone? You know, Cheryl and I do. We kind of have this unspoken pact that you can't watch the one of those episodes without the other person there. You can't go forward and watch that ahead. You can't watch even half of it. You have to wait till we're both there. Because what happens if you're not? You know, you start the program and you're like, what's going on? What happened? I look at, did you watch that show? That's kind of where we are in this Ezekiel chapter 37. We're right in the middle of the book. We're like in the middle of the show. It's hard to know really maybe what's going on. So we go back and take a quick look. We're just going to do a quick recap to catch you up on this dry bones vision. So Ezekiel, he's preaching this message primarily to Jewish or Hebrew exiles that are in Babylon. See, God gave the Israelites, the Hebrews, the law so that they might be blessed and they might reflect God's glory to the nations around them. But the law is also called the Old Covenant. It revealed the blessings that God would give through obedience so that they could live in relationship with God. It also warned the Israelites if they strayed away from God, there would be consequences. There would be discipline, and that discipline would come through exile, being sent away. And the purpose of that exile was so that their hearts may be turned back to God, that they might come back to live into the blessing that God has. So throughout the book, Ezekiel reveals this holiness of God and the straying of Israel from God. So he shares this vision, actually, of the glory of God in the temple in Jerusalem, and then the glory leaves. It lifts up and leaves, and it represents God leaving his people, and the people then are taken into exile because of their idolatry and sin. So in that foreign land, they are experiencing judgment, and Ezekiel prophesies that one day a true shepherd would appear to lead them and would restore them into the full faithfulness of God's promises. And each Israelite, then, is to personally turn to the Lord, and ultimately the nation, the whole nation, will return to him. So God will restore them to the land, this is promise. God will cleanse them, and then God will pour out his spirit in this new covenant, and there'll be a new messianic kingdom where they would experience God's blessing. So this is what the Lord said to Ezekiel right before we get into this dry bones passage. Now listen, just let your mind reflect on these promises. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And you will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God. Then the nations around you that remain will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was destroyed and have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. Now, back to chapter 37. God asks, can these dry bones live? Ezekiel answered, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. And it sets the stage for the Lord to share what the Lord knows. So is there hope for these dry places? What do you think? Is there hope? Is there hope for the things in your life that seem hopeless and spiritually dead? What do you think? Is there hope? Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Sometimes we need to be reminded of the power of God, of the sovereign Lord and his word to fulfill his promises and to bring about his glory. Sometimes we just simply need to be reminded and speak scripture into impossible situations that we think are dead, that look dead, that seem dead, because God is waiting to renew and restore. 50 years ago, my grandmother would pray a blessing over me. Whenever I would leave her house, she'd say, God bless you, Tim. And I'd say, thank you, Grandma. And then I'd head out the door full of sugary sweets. So saying that form of prayer I believe, is an act of hope. You'll hope that by God's word, by God's power, he will accomplish his purpose for which he sent his word. I believe it's an act of hope that God will accomplish his person for grandma in my life, accomplish his purpose. And when I bless you with Aaron's blessing at the end of each service, and I say, may the Lord bless you and keep you, that is a prayer of hope that God will accomplish his purpose in your life and bestow his blessing upon you. God's word fulfilled. God is calling impossible situations, even in your life, to new life. So when the Lord says in this passage, I will breathe or make my breath enter you, it's a Hebrew word for ruah, which ruah, say that with me, ruah. It means breath. It also means wind. It also means spirit. It can be interpreted all those ways. So when God pours out his spirit, what follows? Restoration, redemption. It's at hand. So this is all fulfilled in the New Testament with the pouring out of the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Messiah as the apostles, as the Spirit was poured out on them at Pentecost. And you are a New Testament people. As a believer in Jesus, you have this promise. So we can speak today, dry bones, hear the word of God. What is the outcome of all this? Ezekiel 37:4 says, then you will know that I am the Lord. He continually declares this as a purpose, that we are to be followers, making followers of Jesus, that we are proclaiming the kingdom of heaven, that everyone would know that the Lord is God. This phrase is used like 65 times in this book, so we know it's part of it. So can they live? Can dry bones come back from the dead? So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. The bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. So as Ezekiel starts speaking, the bones start coming together. So that represents this physical restoration of the nation of Israel. They're no longer scattered among the nations. They're being united and restored, but one thing's missing. They still have no breath. So remember, breath, it means the wind, right? The spirit. Implication is that they still need to be spiritually renewed. Physical restoration isn't enough. And I don't want us to miss this. So often, we want to treat the symptoms of brokenness. But the heart of the matter is the heart. And Ezekiel prophesied in chapter 36 that we need a new ruah, right? We need a new spirit in blowing, a new heart. We need the Spirit of God to make us into these new creations, a spiritual new birth. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. So we think ruah, prophesy, son of man. And say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, ruah, from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. And then the spiritual renewal of this vision begins to take place. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them, the spirit. And they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus is surprised at Nicodemus, a Jewish leader and teacher who doesn't get this. Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. Here it's the pneuma or the ruah of the Old Testament. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the spirit. We need a new birth. So if you are a born again believer in Jesus, the Son of God promises this outpouring, this filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. And by that same Spirit, we pray with hope to the dry bones in our life. So the rest of this passage is simply an interpretation of this vision. This is the point of the passage. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, we are cut off. In other words, the entire house of Israel is in captivity. They say there's no hope. We're spiritually dead. There's no possibility for anything to change. And because of it, they've lost complete hope. They echo Job, who says, where then is my hope? Who can see hope for me? Friends, if you're in this situation, If you find yourself feeling completely hopeless and nowhere to turn, remember, the Spirit is raising dead things. The Spirit is alive and active. God is restoring. God is bringing His people back. God is at work in your life, in the world. God tells Ezekiel, therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. See, God is doing the impossible. He is about to bring them out of their graves. Everything that is dead is about to be raised to life. And we know it's possible because we have been witness to that Jesus himself rose from the grave, God's promised Messiah. But this time God says it's going to be different. I will put my Spirit in you and you will live and I will settle you in your own land. So this is an apocalyptic forward looking at what's coming. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. This is fulfilled in God's Messiah, Jesus, the true shepherd, the suffering servant, the promised Messiah who bore our sins on the cross that we could have forgiveness and new life. And through his resurrection, we have hope that we too will rise from the grave, recipients of this new covenant. And together we are the redeemed family of God who are promised a new spiritual life now, renewal and life and hope and a future resurrection. And scripture says we have this hope in jars of clay so that God's glory will be revealed in us. He will do it. God knows the broken things in your life. He knows the areas of your life that are spiritually dead. He knows your dry bones. And he does not intend for them to remain dead. You have hope. If you're an extrovert, turn to somebody beside you and say, you have hope. If you're an introvert, then let them say that to you. You have hope. You have a purpose to declare the promises of him who brought you out of darkness into his marvelous life. You have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And if the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you, then nothing in your life is beyond the Spirit's reach. The Spirit is blowing. God is breathing. God is moving, renewing the face of the earth. There's no limit to the hope that you have as a follower of Jesus. God will accomplish his good purpose in you. It's time to rise up and speak into your life. It's time to say, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, thank you that you are a redeeming God. Thank you that you know us intimately, personally. You know the very situations that we are struggling with and feeling hopeless in. And Lord, you are the God of hope, of restoration. You are our Savior. So Lord, come into our lives. Breathe a new and fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, breathe life into those situations and help us to strive forward with hope, trusting in you that ultimately, Lord, you will restore all things. Lord, we hold on to you and trust in your promise. If there's anyone listening here today, either online or sitting with us, that does not yet know that hope within you, does not yet know Jesus as your Redeemer and Savior, then today the Spirit is moving, inviting you to put your faith and trust in God, to trust that your dry bones will come to life. And we can begin this with a simple act of faith, maybe a simple prayer like this. If that's you today, maybe echo this in your heart. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. Take away my sin, that I may have new life. Lord, I trust you died on the cross for me. Lord, breathe your Spirit in me, that I may walk with you and know the joy of your salvation. I pray in your name. Amen. And if that's you today, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, talk to someone. Let them know that they can walk with you and encourage you in this journey. And as we go today, speak to those dry bones the word of God.